So my name is Helga Holler Bush, and I'm a forestry student and wildlands conservation student at the University of Northern British Columbia in Prince George. But the reason I'm here today is because I'm one of the outreach coordinators for a little group called Eco Living Kitchen, or ELK.
Yes, I love that it shortens to ELK. That's very cute. I'm a big fan of puns and
Yes.
acronyms, so well done.
Yeah, we worked hard on finding something that would fit, and it's not something you expect will take a lot of time, but naming yourselves is
Oh.
actually, yeah.
It can be a very fun process, but it can also be pretty daunting because
Exactly.
it's
Well, and you have to make sure if that's what people Google, you are the first thing that
yeah.
comes up. So
So when you learned about the Fraser Basin Council initiative for youth to create solutions for climate change, what made you apply?
Well, it's a tough time in the world right now, I think, for everyone. But as a young person sort of stepping out into the world and wanting to make a difference, this is the environment and climate solutions is really where my passion lies. And this just seemed like another raindrop to raise the sea, as they say, to do a little bit of good wherever I could and really just use that as a source of strength to keep going when things seem a bit daunting. And really, that's what I've heard from the four other members of our group as well. Just a way to get engaged and start working on some of these problems, even at a really small scale.
Yeah, and actually, I was hoping that you could maybe let our listeners know who else is involved in this project, and then if you can explain what Eco Living Kitchen is.
Absolutely. So I'm joined in this by Anne Duong, who's a master's student at UNBC, a master's of science. And then Hannah Lawrence and Shauna Kelly are our two other colleagues, and they are both environmental studies students. So we have a wonderful mix of folks from the sciences as well as folks from the social sciences, and I think that's one of our real strengths.
Yes, absolutely. And okay, so yeah, tell our listeners what is Eco Living Kitchens, what's the sort of mission, and then what are sort of the activities that you've been doing as well?
Absolutely. So Eco Living Kitchen was really our response to what we saw as a lack of information about how we do the whole process of being in the kitchen, cooking food, purchasing food, storing food, preparing or saving food for later, while living in a sustainable manner. We really thought that that was something that people who are just moving into having their own kitchen space could really use. Now, we've grown past that and sort of grown a little bit bigger in terms of our vision at this point. But what we did to address that is we ran a series of workshops in the spring of last year, focusing, as I mentioned, on the buying of food, how you store it. Is an expiry date really an expiry date? Those kinds of questions. And then looking even at things like, okay, here you have all this kitchen waste, some of which is compostable and some of which needs to be recycled. What is recyclable? What is compostable? And how do you do those different things? So that was our initial series of workshops. And then we moved into something called ELK Kits. And this ran at the same time as the workshops, but was a slightly separate program where we didn't want to just make the soft skills and the information available, but we also wanted to give people items that really helped them in achieving, their sustainability goals. So these kits were free. People just had to sign up for them. And we had items such as metal straws, plastic, reusable grocery bags, so that you can get your fresh groceries in a little mesh bag rather than one of the single-use plastic ones. We had silicone baking trays. We had little tea strainers for loose tea, all kinds of stuff, little lunch. I'm not sure what you would call them actually, little lunch bags, but the really tiny ones to replace Ziplocs. So
Oh,
just
yeah.
all kinds of really fun stuff that people really enjoyed being able to get because there can be quite a paywall for those kinds of items.
How did you get the funding in order to, or did was it sponsorship that you were able to create these kits in order to give out freely?
So we were funded through co-creating a sustainable BC, that Fraser Basin Initiative you mentioned before. And so our funding for our ELK kits came from that. Right now, however, we are funding our Community Cooking on Campus initiative through a prize we won called Nourishing Innovations, which mm-hmm. was a BC-wide competition. So we're currently looking at ways to kind of reform that initiative and start applying for grants next fall and bringing some new kinds of stuff to campus. But yeah.
Are those workshops available online for people to access?
Yes, absolutely. So there was a social media campaign. All of our social media posts from that time are still available on our Facebook and Instagram. And we also have a YouTube channel. So that YouTube channel, Eco Living Kitchen, also contains the recordings of those workshops. So that was part of us ensuring the longevity of this project, because we weren't really sure if we were going to be able to continue on. We wanted to make sure that that piece at least remained available to people. Mm-hmm. So those are still available on YouTube. And if you'd like, I can send you the information for our social media and our YouTube account to share on your platforms.
We'd love to. Absolutely. Okay. What are some of your biggest concerns of food security for Northerners?
That is a very good question. It is a very hard question because as mm-hmm. everyone is aware right now, things are moving really rapidly on the world stage, but also in the Northern stage as well. I mean, we had fires, we had floods. We've kind of seen it all in just the last 8 months. Mm-hmm. And certainly that instability is concerning. For myself, I'm really grateful right now that we're not facing the concern of grain shortages that a lot of countries are, because mm-hmm. we're lucky to be one of the huge producers of grain in the world. In terms of Northern British Columbia, one of the things that really I find challenging when it comes to food security is distance. And I say that even in terms of Prince George. I'm not sure if you know, but Prince George, one of the only Save-On that is the real downtown core location and also the only true grocery store mm-hmm. is moving to a different location in the mall.
Odd.
Which is going to eliminate a lot of easy access food for folks who are living in the downtown core. And permanent living in the downtown core is something that the city of Prince George has been trying to encourage for a long time. So that's a concern for me because we've got some student housing in there. We're just trying to get more people in there, and yet it's becoming less accessible, particularly by foot, because it takes so much longer to travel to the mall by foot or by bus than by personal vehicle. So that's a barrier, and that applies to all communities across the North. I think, too, we were lucky with the floods because we didn't see huge food shortages because we can get things through the Albertan border. Mm-hmm. But with increasing climate catastrophe, it's really important for us to think local and also think seasonal. So there is a big myth about local food that it's always better than what you buy at the store. And it's important to remember, if you're buying tomatoes that are grown in the North year round, which you currently can't really do, but if that was to happen, the amount of energy that goes into producing those is greater than buying them from somewhere further south. So that's a myth we have to kind of look at and examine, while also encouraging greater food production in local areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Yeah. Yeah.
But really encouraging the comeback of the community garden too is really exciting for me, because I think we all need to get more involved in where our food comes from and growing just a little bit each on our own, right? And that's so good on so many levels. Kids love to take part in that. There can be great intergenerational knowledge transfer. It's just a way of bringing people together. And then in the end, you have delicious, fresh food and a real gratefulness and thankfulness for, you know, the hard work that you put in, and also the jewels of the earth, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's an interesting segue into my next question as well, which is your thoughts on people in power looking toward youth to create climate solutions.
Mm. I think that's a really good question. It is challenging. I've definitely thought about this a lot, but it's a challenging answer. So I'm going to answer it slowly and carefully. It is very important for youth to be involved in addressing the climate crisis. Absolutely. Grassroots movements are always useful. And not just youth, but any person from anywhere should feel empowered to do what they can for the climate crisis. And as I said previously, I really do believe that every little bit helps. However, I'm also a firm believer that in order to address something so global and so unlike anything we've ever seen, we require some top-down solutions as well. But there are lots of ways in which we need to do that by meeting at a halfway point, meeting in communities and governments, saying to communities, okay, what are we going to do here? Mm-hmm. Because the effects of climate change are so place-based. We know that it's going to be different for people in the Okanagan compared to up here. Where I live on the edge of Prince George, climate projections say we're going to see an increase in precipitation. That's not the same for the western side of Prince George. Like the differences are very subtle. Yeah. And so it has to be a local approach supported by those in power. And it has to examine place. And in order to do that, you need to engage with the people who are living in the place and who are committed to staying in that place. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, we cannot do this alone, right? I think there's great power in the people, but we need so many of us before the government starts to pay attention that it would be good if they could start paying attention now, mm-hmm. because we need their help. Absolutely. And this is not just one or two people's problem or any one group's problem. This is a problem for all of us, and we need to address it with all of us. And in that way, we will have climate justice and also equity and also reconciliation if we do it right. Right. So no one can just lead this. It has to be a group effort.
Mm-hmm. I Lovely.
Hope that answered your question.
No, it's just really well spoken. I'm really happy that you, good. Especially too, that you focus on the local. Helga, was there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know about elk?
Well, I will make a plug for our future. So we're just wrapping up our community cooking on campus, which has really focused on the UNBC community, giving students cooking skills and sustainability skills while building a really good culture between folks who use the cafeteria and folks who don't always use the cafeteria. We're looking to refine that program, as I said, and then hopefully start it up again in a couple months. But we're also looking to start some new projects that are a little bit different from what we've done before in the fall. So keep an eye on us for that. And then the other thing is we're looking for new members to our small elk group. So if any youth in the north anywhere are passionate, have a project they want to work on, and elk could somehow support them, please feel free to reach out to us. And anyone can reach out to us on social media, and we will meet with them and figure out if there's something we can do for that project. Because yeah, we're looking into the future now, and the future is bright as long as we stay strong and together.
Oh, lovely. Okay, I'm just going to record the goodbye, but then I actually do need your email from you. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, Helga, thank you so much for speaking to me today, and also to illuminating our listeners about Eco Living Kitchen, and also that we have young people that are thinking of these ideas, kind of thinking outside the box, or at least outside of the single use box. And I really, really appreciate your time today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pamela. It was a pleasure.
If you visit our Facebook page at Smithers Community Radio,